Hi, everyone. This is Meghna Chakrabarty, host of On Point. And today on the show, we talked about the health of the President of the United States, specifically about the moribund infosphere surrounding the White House and how lack of straight information is making this already uncertain moment that much more concerning for the nation. There's a sequence from the show that we wanted to highlight for you. It tied together concerns over the president's health, the ripple effect on national security, a firsthand account of Jared Kushner's attitude about the pandemic, and the health of American democracy. And that moment came from Olivia Troy. In August, Troy resigned from the White House Coronavirus Task Force. She'd been serving as advisor and aide to Vice President Mike Pence. Before that, she had a long career in government service that spanned back to 2001. She worked in the Pentagon and the Department of Homeland Security. Given Troy's national security background and the fact that she'd been in the White House's highest-level coronavirus meetings, we wanted to know how she judged the administration's response to the president's illness. And here's what Olivia Troy told us.
Meghna, I think this is no different than what we have seen play out from day one of the pandemic, unfortunately. I mean, this has so many national security implications and continuity of government implications. You know, I never want to see the president sick. You know, I'm a patriot and I've been in this profession for quite some time. On the other hand, I have to say that, you know, the president saying that he now can lead on it because he's personally experienced it, while he's actually still a contagious individual and still potentially not out of the woodwork. I mean, he's still not out of the realm of possibility that he could take a turn for the worse, and I'm praying that he doesn't. But I'm shocked that he would say this publicly when, quite frankly, all of us in America have been waiting for him to lead on this from day one, not just because it now has touched him and he is now part of the experience that the rest of the country has been feeling.
Can you take us inside the White House prior to your departure in August? I mean, what was the attitude around mask wearing? How close do people get to each other?
They don't. I mean, the White House is, you know, the West Wing is very small. People work in very close proximity to each other. And in this situation, it would be prudent for every single person to be wearing a mask just as a precaution for themselves and each other, their families, and also for the president and the vice president. But, you know, as much as Dr. Conley tried to implement protocols and others, I know the Deputy National Security Advisor, Matt Pottinger, so got very strongly about this from day one. He was one of the first people to be wearing a mask back in January. No one really adhered to the policy. It just wasn't taken seriously. It was like we lived in the White House bubble where somehow we thought that this virus wouldn't penetrate, but that's just not how the virus works. It's, you know, it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter where you are.
Mm. And I mean, was there, so it sounds like there was pressure to not wear masks.
I certainly felt that. I, you know, I was always very cognizant. I always told myself, you know, I scrubbed my hand, washed my hands every day. I tried everything to do not to touch common surfaces because for me, I didn't want to be that person that infected the vice president who I worked very closely with. And I think it was just a culture where people in the White House at the most senior political levels never took it seriously. They at times, they just didn't think it was real. They thought it was overblown. And when you walked into the room with a mask, you got the looks. You know, people rolled their eyes. It was just a very awkward situation.
So, Olivia, I really appreciate your perspective here from having been in the room and also your long career as a national security expert for the United States, because, of course, in issues of national security, information management is of vital importance. And that also applies in pandemic management, right? I mean, in the case of pandemic management, sort of a clear, sober recitation of the facts to the American people really, really matters. So, I mean, honestly, how would you judge what the White House has been doing around the facts of the president's health over the past couple of days?
I think it's a prime case of the White House spin and how they've handled the pandemic overall. I think, you know, you're watching Dr. Conley what you're seeing on TV with Dr. Conley is the struggle that the experts and the doctors on the task force have faced every single day. I saw it firsthand, where he is trying to give candid, accurate information. But I can tell you, I'm sure that he is getting bullied behind the scenes, saying, you've got to stay on message. For a Navy officer who I know has integrity, I know this has got to be very hard for him to walk this fine line where he is trying. You know, I don't believe that he is lying. I think he is trying to tell the truth in a manner that is true to who he is and the oath of office that he took when he, you know, chose to serve in the military. But I also think that the dynamics around him to play down the president's condition, if that is indeed the case, are wrong. I mean, this is just, you know, the American public deserves to know what is happening with our commander in chief. What is going on? Is the vice president ready? Is he taking over? I mean, where is it? And I think the president, you know, he does not like to show weakness, and he does not waver on the fact that he will not let go of that office no matter what. And I think, you know, this is just very poorly managed by the chief of staff, Mark Meadows, and everyone who is messaging contradictory to each other. This is how you end up in the crisis that we're in today with the pandemic on how it's still playing out.
Olivia, if I may ask, when you said that you're sure that Dr. Conley is being bullied behind the scenes, bullied by whom?
I would say the highest ranks within the White House. You know, the communications teams, the president's own family members. I have seen this. I have seen how they behave when you're just a public servant trying to do the right thing. This is, you know, we're in a public health emergency and crisis. This response, it's no different than the way they have behaved when the national security community and the intelligence community have tried to give warnings on other areas of national security concerns, such as foreign adversaries or the election. What you're seeing is the continuing undermining of career dedicated professionals and the data and facts. And you're watching it play firsthand now directly with the president and his condition in his life.
So when you mention the president's own family members, and you've seen this firsthand, can you tell us specifically who and what you're talking about?
Like, I can tell you for a fact that Jared Kushner himself never took this virus seriously. I offered to social distance. There were times when I felt uncomfortable because I realized he is the president's son-in-law. I would make a point. Sometimes he would ask why I wasn't sitting at the table or sitting next to him. And I would say, I'm trying to be respectful of you and me. And I'm looking at the vice president at the end of the table. And I'm thinking, you're the president's son-in-law. You should be taking this seriously. You should be protecting your father-in-law and the commander-in-chief and the vice president and all of us. And it was just frustrating because, you know, he waved me off and said an expletive and said, I'm not bothered with that. I'm not concerned about it. And that is just a plain disregard from day one that has been the case. And that is a prime example of a person who is in the inner circle with great influence and steering the direction of this pandemic response. And he has the audacity to sort of behave in a manner that's so cavalier when there are high stakes here.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. Olivia, we've got a question coming in from one of our listeners who wants to know, where is the vice president during all this chaos? Do you think he is being bullied?
You know, I think I have seen the vice president be put in impossible positions repeatedly throughout, especially this pandemic and through other situations in my over 2 years of tenure working on his national security team and staff. And I think, you know, I hope that he is taking the right precautions. And I certainly hope that his own chief of staff and his immediate staff are being very cognizant of the fact that all of them have potentially been exposed to the virus and they need to be very careful because at the end of the day, he is in line to assume responsibility should something happen to the president. And I think I know the vice president, I know he takes his role very seriously, and I hope that he is heeding the advice of those around him and hopefully not the advice of the president's inner circle, but the advice of what the medical and the experts that serve on the task force with him, such as Dr. Fauci. He has resources there to help him get through this.
Mm-hmm. I want to just ask you a couple of questions about the national security implications of what is happening right now with the president of the United States. Nobody wants a president while in office to fall sick like this. Nobody wants this. And it does have reverberations far beyond the White House, right? I mean, the whole world knows right now that the president and his national security team, I mean, there's no way they can be operating at 100% because they are consumed by this catastrophe, right? And then isn't this also sending a global message right now that the White House itself couldn't protect its own staff from this pandemic? And so why would the world, the global community, I mean, doesn't that expose us to weaknesses, to national security weaknesses more broadly?
It certainly does, Magda. And honestly, it's embarrassing to watch the White House, you know, of the world superpower behave in such a manner and to have this on such displayed globally on in such a glaring manner that shows just the lack of regard for what this pandemic is, for what all of our international partners have been facing. And it shows a tremendous sense of weakness to our adversaries who are just watching it. I mean, I'm sure that they are just, this is just another day in the Trump White House where this is once again on full display how the incompetence and the risk that this entire administration at the very top has put all of us through.
Got just 2 minutes left, Olivia, and I have one more question for you, because I heard you at the beginning of our conversation really underscore you felt that it was your patriotic duty to serve in multiple offices over your long career in government. I mean, given that, I think one of the great tragedies of this moment, it feels there's a sad inevitability to what has happened. This didn't need to happen. The president of the United States did not need to contract the coronavirus. 7 million Americans didn't need to contract it. 210,000 Americans didn't need to die. I mean, I just wonder how that's all settling on you right now as you watch this like terrible tragedy, in a sense, coming home to roost in the White House.
You know, it's something that I think about every single day. I reflect on it before I go to bed. It has bothered me every single day in my role in the White House. And just morally, it was a struggle when I worked there. And as hard as this has been to talk about this, and, you know, I'll get off interviews and I will feel emotionally drained because it's so real to me, but it's so important. It's so important that people really understand firsthand what has led us to where we are today.
That was Olivia Troy, former Homeland Security, Counterterrorism, and Coronavirus Advisor for Vice President Mike Pence. She resigned from that post in August. So what do you make of what Olivia just shared with us about her time in the White House? We're going to pick up this topic again at the end of the week, and we want to hear what you think. Was this moment a sad inevitability? Does it change your view of the final weeks of this election? Call us at 617-353-0683 and tell us what you think. And by the way, while you're here, subscribe if you haven't already to the On Point podcast. Thanks. We'll see you again soon.